We're going to go to Norlin in Newmarket, Virginia, who is listening on the Catholic Answers app. You can download that from the App Store. Hope everybody does that. And you've got a question about the body and blood of Jesus, earliest references to this. Can you tell us a little bit more, Norlin? What's your question exactly for Tim?
Sure, absolutely. Well, Tim, first off, I want to thank you specifically and everyone who's been a former Protestant. There's so many of us that are looking at returning to the Catholic Church because we start to understand kind of this, the Protestant start to come unraveled. Protestantism within ourselves, we see it in our hearts, it starts to come unraveled. So my question then is really in relation to the Eucharist. So you're aware as a former Protestant, and just for the record, it's kind of interesting, I'm calling Catholic Answers setting in the parking lot of a Baptist church. So anyway,
all right.
I'm not a Baptist, but I'm a Protestant, but I'm in a parking lot. But my question is this, so many times in the Protestant tradition, they see that the understanding of the Eucharist and the Catholic perspective and in modern-day practice completely different than the way it was in the New Testament. And oftentimes, you know that they view this void of time between the rise of Constantine and the end of the New Testament as this void that, you know, what happened after Constantine wasn't what happened in that period of time. So what I'd like to ask you is, when we look at the Eucharist as the Catholic perception, and it's starting to become my perception, as the real blood and body of Jesus, was there any early references in the church from those who came directly through apostolic succession in the early church that talked about it being not a symbol, but being the blood and body of Christ? So that was my question.
Yeah, it's a great question, Norlin. And I have a brand new CD set that just came out called Living Bread, and it's four CDs, and I actually have a whole section on this, and I give you a litany of examples. So check that out. It's called Living Bread. Recommend it to everybody listening. I packed in the information in that CD set. But Norlin, what we have is what may well be the most ancient extra-biblical Christian text is called the Didache. And in the Didache, what you have is a reference to, and here what's fascinating is you even have a man like J.N.D. Kelly, who is an Anglican. In his book, Early Christian Doctrines, he acknowledges that from day one, Christians understood the Eucharist as a sacrifice, the sacrifice of Christ, the New Testament sacrifice. And he references the Didache, right, which talks about the Eucharist and as the fulfillment of the prophecy of Malachi chapter 1, verses 7 through 11. As you probably know, Norlin, in Malachi, if you look at the first six verses, the prophet Malachi is hammering the priests, the Jewish priests, because of their laxity, their hypocrisy. They're taking the lame and the blind among the herds instead of the best, the first, and offering them to God, and he kind of, God kind of sarcastically says, offer this to your king and see if he'll take it, right? And he says, I will not accept these sacrifices at your hand. And then right after that, he says in verse 7, for, now normally conjunctions connect with what you're saying, right? I'm not going to accept your sacrifice and all of this, for from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, a perfect, a pure, a clean oblation is being offered everywhere from the nations, the ethnoi in Greek, right? The pagans. Now, Christians all understood, Norlin, that this would not be referring to the pagans of that time because some of them were offering things like, you know, humans. So, you know, it's not referring to their sacrifices back then, but prophetically it's referring to the Eucharist. And you see from day one, like I said, the Didache, you'll see St. Irenaeus in his Against Heresies uses that same text of Scripture when he talks about the Eucharist in 180 A.D. in Against Heresies, and he uses unmistakable language that this is the flesh of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then, of course, you have famously, Norlin, St. Ignatius of Antioch, who wrote seven letters one to Rome and to the various churches of Asia Minor. And he's on his way to martyrdom. And in his letter to the Smyrnians, as I recall, I'm going off memory here, I believe that it's chapter 8, paragraphs 2 and 3, as I recall, Norlin.
Chapter 6, I think.
It's right around there. He says he's referring to Gnostics here. He says they abstain from the Eucharist and from prayer because they deny that the Eucharist is the flesh of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the same flesh which suffered and died for our salvation. Norlin, he is writing this in about 107 A.D. This is a man who knew the Apostle John. According to Tertullian, he was ordained by St. Peter. That may or may not be true, but he certainly knew the Apostle John. And he writes in such explicit terms that it is unmistakable. I would encourage everyone, get a hold of my CD set, Living Bread, because I give you a whole litany, as I said, of examples from the fathers. Let me tell you, again, from my personal experience, 30 years ago, I had read Jimmy Swaggart's book, Cale, you know, when I was a Protestant.
And he made you Catholic.
That's right, Catholicism versus Christianity. And in that book, he says the Christians of the first 300 years of the Christian era were not Catholic. They were evangelical and Pentecostal believers. Now, of course, I believed that because, hey, Jimmy Swaggart said
Jimmy
right?
said it. I mean
it's got to be true. Until I started reading those fellows, and then I concluded there's no way Jimmy could have read these fathers and concluded what he said.
Yeah, it's interesting. We were talking about this during the first hour with Carl.
But anyway, Norlin, thanks for your call.